After receiving approval for emergency use in December, the COVID-19 vaccine began being distributed across the country. Reactions to its arrival in Arkansas have been mixed. While some are excited to get their first dose, others are apprehensive, and still others are vehemently opposed. Although minority communities have been disproportionately impacted by the pandemic, there are plenty of minorities who do not want to receive the vaccine at all. In a few minutes, we'll talk to Sharonda Love, director of the Arkansas Minority Health Commission, about some of the work her organization is doing to educate communities about the pandemic and the COVID-19 vaccine. But first, we're going to listen to some of the messages you sent in response to our question, are you going to take the COVID-19 vaccine?
That's a very touchy subject. Black Americans don't particularly have a good rapport with the government and vaccines, going way back to the Tuskegee experiment, where several Black soldiers and only Black soldiers were injected with syphilis without their knowledge. However, times are a little bit different. And since Black people are not the only ones receiving the vaccine, it is given to everyone. It does make it a little bit more understandable. Me, myself, I think I'm okay with taking the vaccine. Now, my opinion could change, but as it stands right now, if it's to propel my fitness and my son's fitness and health, then I am comfortable receiving the vaccine.
Yes, so I will be taking the vaccine when it's administered for several reasons. The first reason being that I do have several family members who are immune compromised, and if they were to contract COVID, it could be a life or death situation for them, which goes into my second reasoning, which is that I have a lot of people in my family who are Black and who are women, and I have seen how the healthcare system has treated those types of individuals, and I want to make sure that I'm doing whatever I can to ensure their safety. So yes, I will be taking the vaccine.
I don't know. To be honest, I am typically not a vaccine person, never had the flu shot. So I just kind of want to hear results on how the vaccine has been working. What are the pros and cons on myself, but also for my community, if I like to do it or if not. So it's up in the air. It's definitely something that I'm open to. But it's also something that I would need to know more information about.
I probably will take the vaccine, maybe not one of the first rounds that's available to the public, but eventually in 2021, I will take it. I think that by starting off with the healthcare professionals taking it, it's kind of boosted my confidence in the vaccine. And I think that it'll probably be better than nothing.
I will not be taking the COVID-19 vaccine because I was raised almost anti-vax. Any vaccination that I would receive, I would get extremely sick, and they just did not agree with my body. So I choose not to participate in taking vaccinations anymore, as well as I plan on raising my child the same way.
I'm not taking it yet. I'm going to wait. Potentially, I might take it, but I need to see what the initial effects are. I don't know whether or not I trust the government. So it is what it is.
I do not plan on taking the COVID vaccine. I just don't feel like it's right for my system. I also don't ever get flu shots. I've never gotten the flu. Not that COVID is the same as the flu, but just would like to risk any sort of disruption of my immune system. I've been taking vitamins heavily, and I believe that's the best source of health for myself.
I'll be taking the COVID-19 vaccine eventually, but not immediately, not in this first round. I don't feel comfortable with it. But also just as an able-bodied person that is not immunocompromised, and not elderly, right? I'm already further down the so-called line to receive the vaccine. But, you know, I'm just concerned about the immediacy of this vaccine being done. And also just as a Black woman, understanding that medical racism is a very real thing, I do have some concerns about that.
Yes, a resounding yes, probably for a couple of reasons. Number one, I feel like it's a kind of a civic responsibility, just like wearing my mask and those kind of things that, you know, maybe some people don't believe, but I believe pretty strongly. The other reason for that is because of my service to the country. And, you know, that kind of strengthens my civic responsibility, I believe. And also when I was in the military, I took anthrax. And so I figure if I took that and had no side effects or little side effects, then, you know, a corona vaccine is not going to be too much worse. So that is my my reasoning.
I will not be taking the COVID vaccine when it becomes available. I just don't trust it.
I plan to take the vaccine because it's the only opportunity we have to stop this virus infiltrating our lives. Americans do not take well to pressure and being told what to do. There are other countries where they're almost back to a new normal because they listen to directives. We have too large of a group of people who only care about themselves, particularly conservative white people, who will not do anything for their neighbors. They will not put on masks. They will not treat this virus seriously. And so we must take the vaccine to get over this lifestyle that this virus has created in our lives.
I'm not sure if I want or if I will take the vaccine or not. I'm still questioning that. I'm still looking at the data. I, for one, have not taken the flu vaccine in years. And I also have not gotten the flu, praise the Lord. And I don't know what that's due to. I'm a professor, so it's not like I'm not exposed to a large population of students on a big college campus or several college campuses. So I don't know. I believe just the research that I've been doing over the years in terms of vaccines and how they've impacted lives of children, especially those vaccines that have shown to have a link to autism. That knowledge makes me want to be more, more inquisitive about the COVID vaccine. However, I also don't want to put my husband at risk, who has a severe case of asthma. So I'm not sure.
I'll be taking the COVID-19 vaccine because I have a lot of faith in scientists and health officials and health experts, and I believe that Dr. Fauci did say that he was 100% confident in it and he would be taking it himself. So that's a big reason why I'll definitely be taking it. And I've been keeping up to date with the process and the research and the headlines surrounding around the vaccine. So I'm pretty confident in it, and I'll definitely be taking it as soon as it's available to me.
Those are just some of the messages we received in response to the question, are you going to take the COVID-19 vaccine? Thanks to everyone for sharing your thoughts and opinions with us. We really appreciate it. Now we're going to hear from Sharonda Love, director of the Arkansas Minority Health Commission. Love was born and raised in Little Rock and says her father's cancer diagnosis led her to a career in public health.
I was raised poor here in Little Rock. When I was a freshman in college, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And my family did not have insurance, did not have access to health care, didn't see the doctor regularly. And so it was a new system, a new world that we had to learn. And with doing that, was able to meet a health educator who walked us through how to get him signed up for Medicaid and described all of his surgeries and what he would need, but also what we would have to do to support him as family. And it was just what I realized I wanted to do.
Well, congratulations on being able to make that your career now. For our listeners who may be unfamiliar with your organization, can you tell us a little bit about what you guys do?
Sure, sure. So the Arkansas Minority Health Commission is a state agency. We are the only state agency that focuses solely on health disparities for all minorities within our state. And when our legislation specifically describes minorities as racial minorities, so that's African American, Native American, American Indian, Asian American, Hispanic American, and we also include the Marshallese population within our state. And we do that by working at the community level, partnering to provide access to preventive health care. So that's things like blood pressure screenings, diabetes screenings, cholesterol, oral health, HIV AIDS. And we offer sponsorships to community organizations to support their initiatives. We also have a mobile health unit where we drive into communities of need, providing access to the people where they are. We also have some signature programs where we provide access to healthy meal replacements. We have a program called Southern Ain't Fried Sundays.
I love that name.
Yeah, yeah. And it is a program that encourages to not do what we like to do here in the South, which is fry everything. And so it provides access to some traditional Southern foods that can be prepared slightly different, baked instead of fried, low sodium, low fat, to encourage individuals to eat healthy as a family. We also have access to a program that targets middle school aged children to provide access to nutrition, fitness, and bullying self-esteem.
So a lot. How did some of that change, or what are some of the new things that you've implemented with the pandemic? Because that is a health crisis. So I suspect that you have had to address that as well.
For sure. So with the pandemic, we had to kind of shift our gears because our focus in general and legislatively is chronic disease. And the pandemic, of course, is an infectious disease. However, what we know about the pandemic is it disproportionately impacts minorities, people of color, brown and Black people. And so we shifted to make sure that we developed health education materials that are in plain language, fifth grade or below level, and culturally competent so that when individuals see the materials, they see themselves. And we are sharing those with our partners. We work with 114 partners in 66 out of our 75 counties. And so we have access to that information. We do presentations where we go and talk about COVID and how it impacts minorities, specifically those with chronic diseases. And so the importance of protecting ourselves, our families, and our community. And we have access to our mobile health unit and received some CARES funding. And so we were able to support some of those community organizations with those funds to get education, but most importantly, testing out into the community. So we have been able to reach 33 counties with COVID testing, specifically targeting the Delta communities and the Southwest Arkansas communities, but also work to make sure that funding for CARES dollars was secured within the Northwest portion of our state as well.
So with the pandemic, it has become clear that there, you know, it has been disproportionately affecting minority communities on a national level, not just in Arkansas. And something that people have come to learn, if they didn't know already, is there's this bit of mistrust, generally speaking, among communities of color. Is that something that you've run into as well? I can understand from a perspective of if I'm maybe mistrustful of a doctor that doesn't look like me, but where your organization is specifically targeting these minority communities in these communities of color, are you still running into and encountering, you know,
either distrust or fear, or even though the source is coming from, like you said, a culturally competent equivalent.
For sure. So with the role that the Minority Health Commission has played in our state, this is not new for us. We have seen this for the past 30 years of our existence, and we have reports that we've done on it. We released a report in 2019 on disparities in healthcare within Arkansas. And so it is something that has been there and been prevalent. However, the pandemic has just shined a light on it. And so I think the opportunity that we have now is everybody is aware, everybody is talking about it. And so we have to be able to jump on it and say, look, it's been here. It's been here in diabetes. It was here with heart disease. It was here with HIV. It's been here. But now, how are we going to work at the community level with the people so that we can address it and make sure that everybody receives the same services, and providing those services to the people how they need it, not how we want to give it to them.
And so how are you doing that? How are you addressing it? I mean, we can start, I guess, with just testing, with COVID testing. You've been providing that with your mobile units. I assume that one of the first challenges you got was just getting people to come and get tested.
So actually, one of our challenges was having access to, it took us a while to get access to funding so that we had the PPE so that we could get out into the community and make sure that we were protecting the community members. But then once we got out into the community, the Minority Health Commission fortunately has that trust. So people come, they are interested, they want to get the services, and they come. And so we continue to work with our partners. And that's how we were able to, in the months of November and December, reach 33 counties and provide access to education and testing. And so I think it's relationship building. It is definitely about trust, and it is acknowledging the historical perspective and saying, I get it. I understand why you feel the way you feel. I understand why you don't trust. But here are the facts. Minorities are being disproportionately impacted, and we've got to get this information out so that we can learn to protect ourselves, our families, and our communities.
Well, now that we've moved on to the vaccine stage of this pandemic, what is your role in all of that?
So the Minority Health Commission's role is still education. We currently have been awarded an extension on our CARES funding. And so we will continue to reach out to our partners and hopefully be able to partner with some pharmacies where we might be able to drive our mobile unit onto their lot, encouraging community members to come in, not only to utilize our services, but also go into the pharmacy and get access to the vaccine. And so what we want community members to know is that the COVID-19 pandemic is disproportionately impacting minorities to the point where we are dying. And we got to do everything that we can to combat that. And so that is what we had initially, our social distancing, wearing masks, washing our hands, and protecting ourselves. But with protecting ourselves, we've got to get vaccinated so that we can make sure that we have that complete protection.
Education is such a big part of the commission's role in the community. What is some of the misinformation that you've been hearing from people? Because there has been quite a bit of it floating around. I know social media has been kind of where people are saying a lot of this is getting tossed around. But what are some of the things that you have heard?
The things that you normally hear, vaccinations make you sick. We're not going to take it because it's going to make you sick. Or it's a conspiracy. It is a conspiracy to get, you know, minorities, Black and brown people of color. That you just can't trust the process. It was too quick. And not understanding the science behind how it was still, you know, developed and tested and approved both by the CDC and by the FDA. And so wanting to make sure that community members know that everything is being done to make sure that the precautions have been there, and we've got to do what we have to do, our part as individuals, to make sure that we are protecting others.
You mentioned the conspiracy ideas, theories, and to me, that's one of the most interesting pieces of this pandemic. How do you combat something like that? Because a lot of times conspiracies are based on mistrust, you know, and so how do you say, well, no, that's not correct. This is like, how do you get someone to believe that?
I think you acknowledge where it comes from. We have to acknowledge the fact that, hey, in the past, people that look like me were not necessarily provided the best services. And sometimes even to this day, we see where people get mistreatment. But here is the accurate information. Here's what's been done, and here's how we know we can trust this process. And so I think that ultimately we have to be able to say, yes, your concerns, there's some legitimacy there. However, we're at a point now where we have to decide, do we want to chance getting a virus that could impact our chronic health and illnesses, you know, down the road to the point where you could potentially die? Or do we want to get access to the vaccine that we know has been researched and that the science is behind, that it is going to protect you? Chronic disease, death, vaccine, where do we want to go there? And letting them make that decision. But I think we also have to have trusted community members, leaders in the community who are able to say, yes, we are in support of this. Let's work to protect ourselves and our communities. And then once minorities see those minority leaders expressing how this is beneficial, I think we'll start to see a turn.
We've talked a lot about these inequities, you know, even just beyond the pandemic itself. What are some steps or maybe new steps that need to be done moving forward, not just to address the pandemic, but to address these health disparities in general?
I think that we, like I said earlier, we are at a point where everyone is on the same page and saying, hey, this is real. Now we have to actually do things about it. The Arkansas Minority Health Commission cannot be the only organization focusing on health equity. It has to be on everybody's agenda. And so that, I think, is the goal, making sure that equity is on everyone's agenda and we are intentional about making sure that we are providing everyone what they need when they need it. Not everybody should be able to get the same thing at the same time. It doesn't necessarily benefit. So there's the RWJ, Robert Wood Johnson, picture of the bicycle. There is the young lady who gets the bicycle, she's in a wheelchair. There's a toddler who gets the same bicycle, it's a 10-speed. And then there's the adult who gets the bicycle. Well, two out of the three can't use it. So we've got to be able to provide people what they need, a tricycle for the toddler, a bike that someone in a wheelchair that's adapted can actually utilize. And so providing people with the services that they need to benefit them, which is important. We've got to make sure that healthcare is beneficial. If someone walks away from the healthcare system and they're still scratching their head saying, what did they just tell me to do? It did not benefit them. And that's what we've got to change.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
Sure, sure. Thanks for the invitation. Always happy to share information and educate our state.
That was Sharonda Love, Director of the Arkansas Minority Health Commission. You can learn more about her organization at arminorityhealth.com. For more information about COVID-19 and the vaccine, you can go to the Arkansas Department of Health's website, and that's healthy.arkansas.gov. For Arkansas Soul, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.